All right, folks, Iran has just made headlines once again recently with a second barrage of rocket attacks against Israel. This one has made history. We're going to cover more about that today. But this puts the spotlight on Iran. And today, I want to peel back some layers, some deep layers, and I want to talk about Iran and why they are significant and they're a major player in Bible prophecy. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Thursday, October 3rd. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. Everybody listening by Apple, by Spotify, you guys watching by Rumble, by YouTube, you guys in the chat, we welcome you. And we appreciate you guys taking out the time to join us on this. We could call this a prophetic update for sure because of the content which we're talking about tonight. And again, be sure to hit that like button. Help us spread the word out there. Help us to get out there on these algorithms. And of course, hit that subscribe button as well. Hit that push notification and go above and beyond. Download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. Again, depending on your device, you can go to your Apple store, your Android store, download it today. Hit yes to push notifications and be squared away and good to go with every headline, every podcast. So guys, again, we thank you for coming on to the broadcast tonight. I'm going to take you to Matthew 24, right off Matthew 24. I'm going to show you a passage of scripture because everything we're going to discuss today is going to fall right into this category. Now, as you know, we've already visited this passage of scripture earlier this week. And here we are back again, and we'll explain why when we get into this thing. Here again, Jesus is at the Mount of Olives. The disciples come to him and ask him, what will be the sign of your coming, the end of the age? Now, if you remember last night, we talked about where Jesus warned about, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come and deception will rise. We talked about the falling away and the apostasy in the last days. If you didn't watch last night's podcast, it was a good one. You need to go watch that. We also talked about earlier this week, we talked about the waves and the seas roaring. We talked about how this could literally be fulfilled through catastrophic hurricanes and tsunamis. Now, tonight, we're right back here in this passage again, and I want to focus on here. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, okay? And see that you're not troubled. Again, for all these things must have come to pass, but the end is not yet. For you will hear nation will rise against nation, and you will see kingdom against kingdom. Then we go to Luke 21, 25. And there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. I said there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. So just a couple of days ago, we know that Iran again unleashed a barrage of rocket attacks. And this is now being called the largest ever barrage of missiles that has been fired at Israel. And now they're coming out warning that a retaliatory strike could warrant further ballistic response. I'm going to pull this up so you can see what I'm looking at here. This is an article from Fox News. Iranian president said during an Asia Cooperation Dialogue Summit this week that Israel must not believe it can act with impunity, according to Reuters. Any type of military attack, terrorist act, or crossing, quote, our red lines, so now Iran is issuing red lines, will be met with a decisive response by our armed forces. Now, this comes following Benjamin Netanyahu's warning, stating that Iran has made a, quote, big mistake and they will pay for it. According to the Times of Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned Tehran that it had made a, quote, big mistake and it will pay for it. Again, this follows 181 missiles that were launched during this strike a couple days ago. According to Israeli officials, the Israeli Defense Forces said it had intercepted a large number of them. Again, this prompted 10 million people in Israel to go into bomb shelters as projectiles and interceptors exploded in the skies above them. So, folks, we see here that the tensions in the Middle East and this conflict is growing and it is escalating. And now I think we could safely say that they're at a war at this point. Now, I know a lot of talking heads and pundits and different journalists and different publications don't want to use that word. They don't want to come out and say that Israel's at war with Iran. But I think it's suffice to say now that we're seeing a full-blown war that has now broke out between not only Israel and all of these Islamic terrorist factions like Hezbollah and Hamas and the Houthis, but now we're talking about Iran itself, who again, by many analysts are saying that Iran is actually the serpent's head. They're the head of the serpent. They're the ones that are, they're spearheading all of these assaults and these attacks against Israel itself. Now, for the next few moments, I want to focus on Iran. Now, biblically speaking, the term for Iran, or the name, title, whatever you want to call it, for Iran, and you're going to see this, and the reason why I'm saying this is so when you read the Bible, you'll understand who they're speaking of. The Bible calls and references Iran as Persia. Now, this is significant when you get into the heart of Bible prophecy and understanding this. So, why is Iran significant? How are they going to play a role in the future and upcoming Bible prophecy? Well, first of all, let's start with Iran's their extreme rhetoric, their beliefs, their traditions, their faith, and what drives them to do what they do. For example, Iran is ruled by Muslim extremist ideology, that America is an infidel nation. In fact, according to Iranian Shiite leaders, America is known as the Great Satan and Israel is known as the Little Satan. And in the Muslim faith, all Muslims, again, all in the Muslim faiths, they believe in the appearance of a Messiah as of their own. Now, why am I saying this? Because all three monotheistic religions, this is meaning, again, this is a theological term for meaning they believe in one God. Again, the Jews or Judaism believes in Yahweh. Christians believe in Jesus. And then the Muslims believe in Allah. All three monotheistic religions all have the belief that a end-time Messiah will appear. The Judaism teaches this. Christianity believes that Jesus Christ will return in the last days, and he will set up his kingdom to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And within the Muslim beliefs, they believe in a coming Messiah they call the Mahdi. They other terms is the enlightened one. They believe that he will appear at the end of days and he will lead the world in a revival of Islamic law and Islamic justice. And this really came to light right around the year 2000. All of this came just exploding on the scene through everything that took place in the Middle East, among the war on terrorism, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, Iran, all of that. We all remember that. This is when Osama bin Laden, all of this came into light. And a lot of people didn't even know this. They had no understanding of this. But you got to remember, you're talking about billions of people on the face of the earth believe this just as much as you and I believe that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is coming back out of heaven, come on, with his saints, according to the book of Jude, to execute judgment upon the ungodly for all their ungodly deeds. Now, here's what you may not know, that just like, watch this, just like us as believers, we turn to the scriptures of the Holy Bible and we read the words of the prophets and we read the words of Jesus that warn that there would be certain signs that would usher in his coming or his return. And we just read that to you, Matthew 24, Luke 21, and you can go to Mark 13. These are the main points of where Jesus is saying all these things will come to pass. You'll see this and this and this and that. Well, did you know that, again, according to the Muslims, according to Islamic belief, prior to the emergence of this Islamic prophetic end time figure, the Mahdi, there will be a series of unusual signs that will occur. Now, I'm going to give you some of these, and I'm going somewhere with all this, guys, so all this is going to make, the madness will make sense, I promise you. Let me give you some of these main signs that, again, a population of billions of Muslims across the planet that know the Quran and the oral teachings of Muhammad, which is called the Hadith, they are looking for these signs. Ready? Number one, they believe that two European countries will be attacked. And this, again, will be one of the signs during the last days prior to the Mahdi's appearance. They believe a war between the Eastern powers and the Western powers must occur. They believe the West will be ultimately defeated and the Eastern powers will rise again. Interesting. They believe, listen to this, they even believe in signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And I'm going to go into more detail about that in just a moment. But they believe that there will be three celestial stars that will be aligned on one axis. They believe in a new star that has never been seen before will appear in plain sight. And then they believe that there will be a war that will take place in Syria. Come on, all y'all know that prophecy, Isaiah 17, ring a bell. And eventually a war between the Arabs and Turkey will take place. Again, there will be a war in Syria and eventually a war between Arabs and Turkey. All of these are major signs that will occur in the end times. Again, this is not according to Bible. I just want to emphasize that this is according to the written and oral traditions of Islam. Now, being that they are anticipating an Islamic figure to come to power, there is, once you understand this, guys, and you start peeling layers back and you start really studying what they believe, then you will understand why certain events are taking place in the Middle East, why they do certain things, why there is certain rhetoric, and etc. For example, in June of 2003, there was a man by the name, some of y'all know who this is, some of you won't, but Murtada al-Sadr. This was a radical Muslim religious leader, and he was a Shiite cleric. And this man, if you remember this, in 2003, he created a militia force in Iraq. He formed this coalition, this army, if you would, and called it, you ready for this? The Mahdi Army. Now, these individuals, again, they were all among this group called ISIS. Y'all remember that? They were waving the black flags and the black banners. Now, there's a reason for that. The reason they were doing this is because al-Sadr was very familiar with Islamic prophecies and the belief that the Mahdi would rise out of Iraq. Now, you got to remember, there is what's called the Shiite and the Sunni Muslims. One group believes that he will come out of the desert and appear, and the other group believes he's coming out of a well, that he's been supernaturally preserved, and he was the 12th imam that was supernaturally preserved. Guys, I don't want to go too deep into that because I won't be able to finish all of this, but this is where this Mahdi will arise, and this is why you have this mindset. Along with the imams that was ruling in Iran, Persia, they were often seen wearing a black turban. Keep this in mind, a black turban. Now, you know who else had the black turban on all the time? Hezbollah's military commander Hassan Nasrallah. This man had the black turban every time you saw him. Every interview, every video, every photo, black turban. Why? Because again, they were of the same belief. They were of the same belief. Now, where are they getting this at? In the Hadith, it is written, quote, "When you see the black banners coming from Khorasan, then go to them, even if it means crawling over the snow." Quote, "The deputy of Allah, the Mahdi, will be among them." Quote, "It is also reported that Muhammad said," ready, "that the black banners will come from the east and their hearts will be as firm as iron." So guys, this is why back in 2003, and you had that rise of these radicals called ISIS, and they formed this, all this, and they had those everywhere you saw them. They had those, even all the trucks that lined up, they had all the black flags. Remember that? They had those black flags. They had the black turbans. They had all this because again, this comes from their beliefs. And again, the reason why I'm telling you this is because Iran holds the strongest belief of an anticipation of this coming Messiah called the Mahdi. And according to their traditions, they hold to the doctrine of the 12th Imam, or the son of the 11th, who was hidden again and will appear in the end days. Now, watch this. When he appears, he will appear along another individual who will declare himself as Jesus, ready? But this Jesus will not be the Jesus of the Bible. He will not be Yeshua, the Son of God. This will be a false Christ who, according again to the Hadith and these traditions, he will show himself that he was Jesus. He will show his arms and his hands and show that he was never pierced and he was never crucified. And he will declare that it was a lie and that he was swapped out on the cross. And through this, him with the Mahdi will convert the world to Islam. And they even believe that when the Mahdi appears, he will come riding on a white horse. Now, I am 100% convinced that the Antichrist of the Bible will be Islamic. And I believe what the Muslims refer to as Mahdi, the Bible calls him the Antichrist. I believe they're one and the same figure. Most of you guys are pretty aware of this, and you've heard this sometime or another in the last 10 years. There is too many parallels. Again, even Jesus himself said, when he talks about deception in the last days, he said, even if they say, "Lo, he is in the desert," do not go to them. Do not go to him. Right? Because why? Because of deception. And isn't it interesting that they teach that the Mahdi will appear in the last days and he will convert the world. He will lead people astray. And you say, "Well, Brother Ricky, that's interesting, but I really don't understand what that has to do with Iran." Well, first of all, if you're not listening, you're not paying attention, because we mentioned Iran in this. But since you asked, let's go further. See, because when we heard the news about Israel taking out their top commander, the Hezbollah commander, Hassan Nasrallah, what many don't understand is the significance of this. But Nasrallah was greatly loved among his own people because they believed that he was a direct descendant of Muhammad himself. Now, guys, that's huge. Let me read this. This comes from Wikipedia. Quote, "Nasrallah was often referred to as Al-Sayyid Hassan, the honorific Sayyid, or denoting a claim of descendant from the Islamic prophet Muhammad through his grandson Hassan Ibn Ali, I believe that's how you pronounce that. Again, To those who understand and believe in Shia Islam, Nasrallah was a living, breathing link to the founder of their very faith, which was Muhammad, who founded Islam in Mecca in Saudi Arabia. So guys, now you know why Iran, listen to this. Now the light bulb's going to go off. Ready? This is why Iran responded the way they did, because this is not just the death of anyone. If this guy holds this kind of significant in their faith, this was a huge figure that was just taken out. And this is why Iran is responding the way they are, is because, again, because of the weight of this and the significance of who Nasrallah was. And number two, remember, they believe that there has to be certain wars that's going to take place in the end times that are going to usher in the Mahdi. Now, let me go back to Luke 21. Oh, this is all going to tie in, guys. Luke 21. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. Again, the sea and the waves roaring, and men's hearts failing from the fear of the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. Look at everything that's happened this week. The hurricane, the waves and the seas roaring. Look at the distress of nations and with perplexity that's happening right now. And then you have these signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. Let me talk about that for a moment. In case you didn't know, the largest solar flare in 7 years has just erupted from the sun. The largest solar flare in 7 years has just erupted from the sun. And according to space.com, this CME, this coronal mass ejection, was the most powerful solar flare since 2017. And this is a colossal X-class eruption. And this thing has already triggered shortwave radio blackouts across Africa and Europe. And they're saying that this is going to, quote, possibly trigger widespread auroras as far as North Texas. And they're saying that we can expect this between October 3rd and October 5th. And again, according to the report, they're calling this a, quote, record-breaking solar flare that was, quote, the most powerful one on this solar cycle so far. It was the most powerful solar flare in over 7 years. Back in 2017, two colossal flares measuring X13.3 and X11.8 were reported in a declining phase of the previous solar cycle. So again, as the reporting of this, the sun has ejected a powerful X-class solar flare that could possibly produce auroras as far as Texas. Now, this also follows on the heels of a solar eclipse that created a, quote, ring of fire in the skies over parts of South America on Wednesday, according to NASA. Again, this just took place yesterday on Wednesday, October 2nd. There was a solar eclipse that took place, and the trajectory of this path was seen again over parts of Easter Island, Argentina, Chile, and different locations. Again, the brunt of this, or the most visibility of this, was South America. So you've got this solar flare, you've got this solar eclipse, then you have this. It is now official. Earth now has two moons. Are you kidding me, guys? Solar flare just made history. Strongest one in this solar cycle in 7 years. Seven, biblical number, seven. Solar eclipse. Earth now has two moons. Then you had this, quote, comet of the century, the C-2023A3, again, that has not been seen since the dawn of creation. Now, this comet, I told you this was significant. I don't even remember when we talked about this. It may have been Tuesday night or Monday or last week, whenever we did. It was before we got to October 2nd. I know that for a fact, because you can go back and look at our archives. And I said, this comet is significant because comets, according to the ancients, are harbingers of war. Now, consequently, this comet made its brightest appearance on October 2nd, and on October 2nd, which was again yesterday, was the official first day as we entered into Rosh Hashanah or the Feast of Trumpets. I knew that this was significant when I saw that. And again, and isn't it interesting that a day before we enter into Rosh Hashanah, when this comet's already in the heavens, Iran unleashes a rocket barrage against Israel, now escalating, they're saying now that it's going into a full war at this point. So this, guys, I'm telling you, this is not happenstance. God, the heavens are screaming. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and in the stars. And all of these celestial events are all coinciding together. You've got wars breaking out, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, distress of nations with perplexity, the waves and the seas roaring, and men's hearts failing them for the fear of the expectation of the things coming upon the earth. And having said that, I want to go back to Iran. After all, this entire podcast is the focal point is Persia or Iran. Now, I had to get all that. I started out with Iran. We got into the middle, and now we're going back and we're circling back around. Why? Because all this is going to play in. Because just like, watch this, just like the Christians believe, we as believers believe the words of Yeshua, Christ, the Messiah, that said there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, according to the Quran and the Hadith of the Muslims. As they anticipate the arrival of their Mahdi, their Messiah, they point out that there are several predictions and their oral writings and their written writings concerning signs in the heavens that will occur in the last days. For example, the Hadith teaches that the moon will eclipse twice during Ramadan, Islam's holy month. Another cosmic sign, they said, would be a major sign of the end times and the arrival of the Mahdi would be a star that will appear with a luminous tail that will rise from the east before the Mahdi emerges. Now, what you probably don't know is during the 1900s, there was two events that occurred that brought such great anticipation among many Muslims in the Middle East. And here's those two events. One was the appearance of a comet that had been hidden and was suddenly revealed in 1993. This comet was called Hale-Bopp Comet. This is the same comet. I said comet. Are you paying attention? We're talking about comets again. This same comet was seen again. They say it appeared the last time it was seen was in Noah's day when he was building the ark. We've emphasized that multiple times. And I think that's huge. As it were in the days of Noah. Come on, somebody. It will be in the days of the Son of Man. So in 1993, when this comet appeared, when Hale-Bopp made its appearance, many among the Muslim faith remember the traditions of this, what has been written that they believe will be a star with a luminous tail that will rise from the east before the Mahdi emerges. And then in 2004, something interesting happened. During the month of November, two eclipses occurred. And again, according to Islamic tradition, that they teach that two eclipses will occur during Ramadan prior to the appearance of the Mahdi. And this would be a major sign to them. What am I talking about here, guys? I'm talking about, I believe there is a convergence of all these signs that are taking place, and I think that all three major religions that make up the population of the earth, all three of these, again, among the Jews, the Christians, and the Islam, are all seeing these signs, and I believe it's all converging together. And why is that? Because the Bible is, and the prophecies of the ancients are coming to pass. And then, of course, okay, so we got all this going on. Then, of course, we've got Persia, Iran, We've got their direct involvement as a major player in Bible prophecy. When we get to, and you knew we were going here, Ezekiel chapter 38, 39, the war of Gog Magog. And by the way, it's not just Christians that understand and believe this. Even among Islam, they believe in this coming war. Some of y'all didn't know that. They believe in this coming war. Let's pull this up. I want to show you this. When you go here in Ezekiel 38, we see here that there is a coalition of nations, and I believe this, there's a spirit, this Gog, G-O-G, is a demonic prince spirit. It's a chief spirit that is all going to inspire this, but the Lord will have a direct hand on this. Don't miss it. Just like there will be 10 kingdoms in Revelation that will give their power and their sovereignty over to the Antichrist in the last days. Right here, God says that even though there is a prince chief spirit of Gog that is that's pulling these nations together, it will ultimately be God, watch this, verse 4, who will turn them around and put hooks in their jaws and lead them out. Now, among these nations that are named here, Persia is the one out the gate. I believe Iran is going to be the major player in this. They're going to lead the way. So notice here you have Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, and with all of them with shield and helmet. And then, you know who else is mentioned here? Gomer and all of its troops. This is why I have said over and over again, guys, pay attention to Turkey. Gomer is Turkey. Pay attention to what they say. Pay attention to what Erdogan says. Because this is significant because they're a major player in Bible prophecy. And it just so happens that Erdogan is warning of a war between Israel and Turkey. How do you like that? How about that prophetic headline? Turkish President Erdogan warned of war between Israel and Turkey in his speech at the opening of parliament on Tuesday, saying, quote, the Israeli leadership acting with delirium of the promised land, listen to this verbiage, and with a purely religious fanaticism, really, as if he's got one to talk about that, will set its sights on our homeland after Palestine and Lebanon. Wow. So Erdogan is saying here that he was telling the people at this parliament that once Israel is finished with, quote, Palestine and Lebanon, they will set their sights upon Turkey. Now, I don't believe that, but now if there's a reason the Israeli Defense Forces felt like they needed to do that because there was a threat there, then of course. But again, according to Bible prophecy, I don't see that. But anyway, Erdogan said that, quote, the Zionist Greater Israel project includes Turkey, and added that, quote, the Netanyahu government harbors a delusional ambition, including Anatolia, and pursues a utopia, and it reveals these intentions on various occasions. Since the 7th of October, every deployment increases the dimension of this threat a little more. Pointing to the proximity of the borders between Turkey and Israel, Erdogan hinted that war was imminent between the two critical allies of the United States in the Middle East. Wow, guys, wow. He goes on to say that, quote, Turkey is only 2.5 hours away from Lebanon by car. In other words, occupation, terror, and aggression are right next to us. This is not the first statement that Erdogan has made. He made a similar statement back in May saying, quote, do not expect that Israel stop in Gaza. If not stop, this ferocious terrorist state will eventually have designs on Anatolia with the delusion of the promised land. I'm going to read some more of this, guys. Together with Erdogan's announcements last July that Turkey could, quote, intervene militarily against Israel, these developments underline the danger that Israel's U.S.-backed war, look at their calling this, Israel's U.S.-backed war of aggression. Remember, according to the prophecies of Islam, there has to be a war between the West and the East. Remember, And what do they call Israel and America? The little Satan, the big Satan. It is rapidly, quote, escalating into a conflict that can engulf the entire region. Well, you know what's going to, and you know what? It will eventually, there will be a war that will engulf the entire region. There will be a war that will involve Turkey, and it will involve, consequently, Iran or Persia. And according to the prophet Ezekiel, this war will take place in Bashan, which is the upper Golan Heights in the mountainous region of the of northern Israel. This is, again, this is in a valley located in the highest mountains of Jordan east of the Dead Sea. By the way, this is a terrain that they can't even get a lot of tanks, jeeps, and mobile land vehicles. They're almost impossible to get into these areas. Now, why is that significant? Because if you go, let me go back to the prophecy. Now, look what it says here. All of it. So you got this coalition that God's going to put hooks in their jaws, lead them out. Again, Iran, you've got Turkey, you got Ethiopia, you got Libya. All these are coming down. Look what it says here. All right. It says, you, all your army, your horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed and a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Guys, this right here has puzzled scholars for years. Because they don't understand how, why would the prophet foresee a day that would come when there'd be a major war that would take place in Bashan in the Golan Heights that would involve Israel and all these Islamic nations that will come, howbeit with the exception of southern Soviet Russian states. And again, this is Russia's involvement. How are they all going to get involved in this? And why are they not using modern warfare? Why are they not using these sophisticated equipments, sophisticated military equipment like tanks and jeeps and different equipment like this? Again, there's many speculations on this. One is the terrain won't allow it. That's one speculation. Number two, there is many speculate that there could be as a result of a EMP. An electromagnetic pulse bomb that has been released either up into the heavens. And again, they can do this by sea. They can pull up with aircraft carrier or a type of warship that can launch this up into the heavens over that region and it explode over and knock out the communications to all of the modern technology that they have. They can knock out the satellites taking place. And you got to remember, guys, in the midst of this, this also, we understand, according to the book of Revelation, there will be stars falling out of the heavens as well. Now, I could take a sidetrack here and talk about how there's also many scholars that put the timing of the rapture either right before this great war of Gog Magog or in the middle of this war. And look, I don't, and let me give you one clue of where they're coming up with this. Let me give you just one clue of why they're coming up with this. So when you go to Ezekiel 39, so you got 38, this war breaks out. You've got Ezekiel 39. In the midst of this war, you got God himself who will rise up and defend Israel himself. And then you get to verse 9, and it said, then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons. This is all the weapons that were used in this war, both the shields and bucklers, the bows and arrows, the javelins and spears. Now, pay attention here. And they will make fires with them for 7 years. Now, this is interesting because it uses an exact number of years, which consequently is 7 years. So they're having to burn these weapons and set them on fire and make fires that will burn for 7 years. Now, there is speculation that there will be certain biochemical, perhaps nuclear weapons that will take place. And this is why they have to set these on fire and it will be for 7 years. Now, there is scholars that believe that that is not an accident. That number is specific and says 7 years. Some speculate that during this 7 years that all of these weapons are compiled, and no doubt the United Nations will lead this, and they will burn these weapons in the name of peace and security. So is it possible that during that 7 years that they're burning all these weapons, that it is in the same time frame as Daniel 9:27, where in which the Antichrist confirms a covenant of 7 years? Because remember, Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon. I actually believe that's 1 Thessalonians. Peace, then peace and safety shall come upon them. Because you got to remember, when this war takes place of Ezekiel 38, it is a time, according to the prophet, when Israel will be dwelling in safety and without gates and bars and security. And we're absolutely not there yet. So guys, this war, Gog Magog war, this is a future war. And let me close with this. Consequently, we'll pull into this war, and as a major player, and could be the one who spearheads this, will be Iran or Persia. So that's why I say three major countries that we need to be paying attention to as believers of Christ, Yeshua, the Mashiach, the Messiah, the one, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If we believe in the words of Messiah, our Messiah, we believe in the words of his prophets that he inspired to speak and foretell of these days in which we're living in and what are coming, then the three major nations that we need to be paying attention to, ready, is Russia, Iran, and Turkey, because of these are the three major players of Bible prophecy. Now, that is not to say that between now and then, there won't be the fulfillment, and I believe it will. There will be the fulfillment of Psalm 83, which is a coalition of nations that will come against Israel. And in that coalition of Psalm 83 is Syria. And Syria, as well as Iran, has these Islamic beliefs. And Damascus, which is the capital of Israel, according to the prophet Isaiah, said it will become a ruinous heap, and it has to, that, and that's the only thing to me that makes any sense of why Syria is not directly mentioned by the prophet Ezekiel in this final war of Gog Magog, Ezekiel 38, 39, that God himself will rise up out of his place and defend Israel and himself. So let's do a real quick recap before we close this. So we know that Iran is making headlines. Iran and Israel. Israel is the fig tree. Jesus said, behold the fig tree, watch it, pay attention to it, examine it, study it. When its leaves become tender, you know that summer is near. Israel is the centerpiece. If I say this all the time. If I was to throw 2,000 puzzle pieces out here on the table, and Israel would be the centerpiece of all the pieces of the puzzle. They would be the one sole piece of the puzzle of prophecy that you need to really be paying attention to. That's what Jesus told us. All, even Peter in Acts chapter 3, when he got up, he said that all of heaven is restraining Jesus from returning until all things be fulfilled that was spoken of by the prophets. And what spoken about what? Everything that was centered around Israel, the restoration of Israel, the reconciliation of Israel, the people returning to their homeland, that they would blossom again. They would come back from the dead, literally fulfilling Ezekiel chapter 37, the dead man's bones. They would be reborn as a nation in one day. Jerusalem would be reinstated as the capital. All these things had to happen for prophecy to completely come to fulfillment. And can you know what? All of that has been fulfilled. So we really are, guys, and the last grains of the hourglass. We're in the last seconds of the last minute of the last hour before that clock strikes midnight. And Jesus said in Luke 21:28, he said, when you begin to see all of these things coming to pass, look up your heads, lift up your heads, and look up, for your redemption is surely drawing near. So again, we wanted to recap that. Iran is making headlines, and they're a major player in Bible prophecy. They have beliefs of prophetic implications in the end times. They believe in a Messiah that's coming, which I believe the Bible identifies this man as the Antichrist. They believe there will have to be major wars take place. They believe that there's going to be signs in the cosmos, signs in the heavens, just like the believers of Christianity believe it. Everything is coming to pass, and they are a major player in the future in a battle called War of Gog and Magog. Guys, please share this. Hit the like button, subscribe, hit that bell notification. Do all of this. Get the word out. Again, download our free app. You can get it today. If you go under the description of this video, there's a link that says download a free app. Click on the link and you can get it today. Go to the Apple Store, go to the Play Store. Again, make sure you hit yes to push notifications so you can be notified. And of course, guys, if this ministry is a blessing to you, it informs you, it equips you, it edifies you. This is your home church. Whatever your relationship is, pray about it. Pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that several different ways. Electronically, you can either give through the website, you can give through the app. It's right there. It's easy to do. If you're watching this, you can, right there on the screen, you can give by check or money order, and you can do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. And guys, if you're listening, if you're watching this by YouTube, in the chat, either in the comment section or in the live chat at the top, it's pinned there where it says support, really bold letters. There's a link right there. Just click on there and you can give that way as well. So as always, guys, we appreciate your partnership and your support of our ministry. Without you and your prayers, we would not be able to do what we're doing and what we do on a continual basis. So listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you. We're going to sign off for tonight. We plan on being back here tomorrow to finish off this week of podcasts, and that will be on Friday, October 4th, and that will be 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.